This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five oh six, and for our first story, so we want to talk about the pressures being placed on children and teenagers in Malaysia. This is after a New York Times article highlighted a study in the US that found that between 2005 to 2017, over a span of 12 years, rates of major depression rose from about 8% to about 13% among adolescents between 12 to 17 years old.
So this trend reflects what's happening in Malaysia, because based on the National Health and Morbidity Survey in 2017, it found that 1 in 5 Malaysian adolescents were depressed, and suicidal behavior was highest amongst Form 1 students, and only 1 in 3 said that their parents understood their problems, and less than half had peer support at school.
Now, the New York Times article identified some reasons why adolescents may be depressed. Among them, the fact that parents put a lot of pressure on them since childhood by having them involved in all kinds of activities in and out of school, in and outside of schools, which means that kids just don't have enough time to play and be kids.
So when we first started talking about this article, I was thinking, oh, but maybe this is just an American issue. But we had a look into it and spoke to befrienders, and they said that, yes, the number of calls that they're receiving from adolescents has gone up. They wouldn't, understandably, tell us exactly by how much. And when reading the article, it was it's kind of a bit of a horrifying read. The pressure being placed on kids to study and live. And one sentence in particular really struck me was how childhood, the author considered, is now one long unpaid internship to adulthood. But having said that, reading the article, I also felt, well, hang on a second. Doesn't this just simply describe a middle-class Malaysian childhood with so much extra tuition, so much pressure being placed upon a child? Pressure actually, you know, starting from kindergarten, which is the article was talking about kindergarten, but getting kindergarten here too. So I'm wondering if you know, this is, the Americans are just, you know, once again, just simply catching up to us.
To our lower standards.
Not lower standards, higher standards, expectations.
Well, I wonder if part and parcel of the conversation here is youth unemployment. We in Malaysia here do have staggering rates, unfortunately, where unemployment among our youth is more than 3 times the global average. So I just wonder if parents here feel the necessity to prep their kids for that. So they start the whole CV bolstering process from a very young age. So you learn all sorts of skills, you learn all sorts of languages, you go for all these tuitions, you go for all these extra classes. So you don't really have time to just play and be creative. And, well, maybe just adding to that, there's just pressure on both ends, right, for kids in terms of, and parents in terms of social media. For kids, they want, you know, many multiple things, and it's very hard for them to have conversations and to escape from cyberbullying, for example. And on the end of the parents, maybe to show their achievements as parents, they use their children, right? Their children become symbols of achievement. Oh, look, my child achieved top class, and she's also really good at, wall climbing, rock climbing. They're also very good, and they can speak like 5 languages.
And I think it's also the pressure of how our education system is also very results oriented. So you want to be good academically, so you send your kids to tuition after school, and you send them to, I don't know, like Japanese arithmetic methods in the afternoon, and like other things. And at the same time, if you want to get a scholarship in the future, you also need to be good in sports, so you send them to swimming classes or tennis classes or whatever. And in the future, if you want to get a higher chance of getting a job, you need to learn a lot of languages, so you send them to Mandarin classes because that's language of business. It's just a lot of pressure on the kids because of what you perceive as something that is really needed in the future. But maybe along the lines, we forget that we need to become, you know, more holistic people as well, learn social skills and learn to interact and solve problems when communicating with people, and that just gets lost in the mix.
Well, that is something that the New York Times article was pointing out, is the lack of social skills that's being taught. And they're advocating, there are societies where you can go to now where you give your child extra playtime. You schedule in an hour. And also it's as unsupervised as possible. So the interactions between peer-to-peer interactions should be unsupervised so that children themselves can work out, problem-solve relationships without the intervention of grown-ups. But you mentioned the idea that parents are, you know, either perhaps showing off with their kids or just putting on due pressure. But I think the one thing that separates children and parents from when I was growing up is that, I mean, I grew up in quite a less safe, you know, kids can go and do whatever kind of way. But when I speak to younger people now, and actually when I speak to parents, there is a difference, because in my day when I was growing up, there was an assumption, and it was justifiable assumption, that there was work out there.
Yeah.
And that you could work in whatever industry you studied for or you wanted to do. Now, though, I think that a lot of the pressure is coming from top down. It's actually the children are picking up on the parents' anxieties that if the extra tuitions are so scattergun from Mandarin to rock climbing to whatever, it's because there's no clear path. And if the parents are also struggling to make ends meet, and also perhaps in the case of the American example, doing second jobs, staying away from home, having the kids being looked after by carers, etc., for longer and longer and longer.
Yeah, where your parents are just absent, more and more absent from the picture.
Mm. And then the kid is only going to pick up on one thing, which is, my parents cannot afford to have me. So they're going to feel stress. So Befrienders did tell us that, yes, the contacts from teenagers and children is up, especially via emails, and around 35% of those have indicated that they have suicidal thoughts.
So after this, we're going to be speaking directly to Befrienders KL. We're going to be speaking with RD Ayadali, Publicity Director, about, you know, just this whole situation. If you have any thoughts, do you think growing up right now is just much harder for children and for teenagers? Call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's 5:15, you're with Cam, Kelvin, and I'm on the Evening Edition, and we are talking about the pressures of growing up. There's just a lot more pressure being placed on children and teenagers in Malaysia. So we're now going to cross over to RD Ayadali, Publicity Director from Befrienders KL. RD, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, hi.
So to start us off, could you tell us what the mental and emotional health of children in the country looks like today? Are more kids showing signs of depression and suicidal behavior in the country today?
I have to agree with the article in the New York Times that says children today are more depressed. And even though that article is in the context of American children, but I feel that it's also the same for Malaysia in the Malaysian context. We can see actually from the National Health and Morbidity Survey that was done in 2017 that the numbers have been increasing. And from this study, we know that 1 out of 5 kids are depressed, while 2 out of 5 are feeling anxious, and 1 out of 10 are feeling stressed. So there is a concern in this matter here.
What types of mental and emotional issues do we often see among children nowadays that we might not have seen in the past, and how has it changed over time?
Actually, from my experience, communicating with these children who contacted us, there are a lot of them who are actually suffering from depression and also anxiety. And this is very alarming because they are not getting the help that they should be getting. And if we just let it be, then the situation can actually get worse. And this is actually different from children back then when, you know, if you can actually hardly hear any children suffering from all this.
And through the conversations that befrienders have had with these kids and teenagers, have you perceived any common threads or causes that could be reasons for this?
Yeah, actually, I think it's mainly comes down to their, they have problem, they don't have the ability to cope when they are facing problems. So this could be because of their lack of self-confidence and also that they are not receiving the support from the family, especially the parents not being there for them.
So the article in the New York Times we were discussing today attributes this to a change in the way kids are growing up today, with a decrease in playtime to focus on studies and extracurricular activities. Is this something you're seeing here as well in terms of there being a compromise in healthy social development for the sake of physical safety? Is there a cause for concern for the way we're raising our kids today?
Yes, for sure. Because, I mean, when we talk about safety, right, how many of us are comfortable to let our kids loose without supervision, even in the neighborhood playground? Because we are all always very worried about our children. And because of this, we prefer to keep them locked indoors, safe and under our eyes. But the problem with this is they don't get that social interaction. They don't get to learn how to cope when facing problems and solving problems. And then also, you know, the pressure that parents nowadays put on the children, it's very high because they are now forced to do a lot of extracurricular things, which they might not like also in the first place. So apart from having to achieve good grades in school, they also have to do well in all these extracurricular activities.
The argument against increasing homework and its effect on the mental health of children and teenagers is a perennial conversation. What are your thoughts on this? Do you see this changing in any way in the future locally?
I think that the education ministry are taking the right or making the right steps to actually reduce this. But it seems like it's a very slow process. So I don't see that it might change anytime soon. But it is very alarming because children are being crammed with too many homework and they don't have time to actually just be children.
The children now have digital devices, which are commonly often held as being an evil. Have you found any relationship between child to teen suicides and the digital devices?
The thing about digital devices is children who are actually addicted to them, they can actually create social isolation for them. So this actually reduces the time that they actually interact socially face-to-face with other people or other children. And it actually also makes them socially awkward in certain situations. We do have a lot of kids who actually write to us by email that says that they have social anxiety where they are unable to mix or they don't know how to actually interact, or even when they are in school and they have to stand in front of the class to make a presentation or just to talk, they get social anxiety. They get froze up. They just couldn't say anything. So I think this can also be attributed to, attachment that they have to digital devices.
So when it comes to this, right, I think sometimes parents, caregivers, adults who take care of children, there is this, I guess, sometimes a sense of helplessness. How do we help them? How do we you know, work together with them to overcome all these emotional issues that they might, that kids might face. Is there, and I guess what signs can parents look out for to identify these problems, and, you know, in the short term, what actions can they take?
Okay, actually, as parents, we really need to be aware of our children's emotional well-being. And, I mean, it's not that hard, actually, to notice, because some of the signs can be as simple as, mood swings. Like, you can actually notice that your kids are having extreme mood swings. They suddenly become easily irritated or easily angry, things like that. And other than that, extreme tiredness, they show lack of energy, and then they have problems sleeping, and they are not interested to do things that they used to like to do. And also, all this behavior can also lead to self-harm. And there are, I think, quite alarmingly, a lot of children who actually are now resorting to self-harm because it's a way for them to cope with their emotional pain. And yeah, and it's really, really important for parents to actually pay attention to this, because with self-harm, you can actually see the scars probably on their wrists or on their thighs. And when you encounter this with your children, having an open and honest communication is very important, because you need to be able to reach out to them, and you need to be able to build the trust so that they are comfortable talking to you about what's troubling them. But unfortunately, from the cases that we get at Defenders, a lot of these children, they actually admitted when they tried talking to the parents, most of the parents actually brushed them aside and worse, accuse them of being an attention seeker. So that makes things even more complicated and hard for them, because being children, they do not know where to seek help, and also they don't have that access to actually seek professional help.
I just want to ask about one of the findings in the National Health and Morbidity Survey in 2017. It found that one in three adolescents perceived that their parents understood their problems. I'm just wondering why that is the case. Why is such a low number?
That's quite perplexing also, because I think most probably because nowadays both parents are working, so they spend less time with the children. So you can imagine that you only see your children probably at night, just like a few hours before their bedtime. So there is actually less time for you to actually interact. And you're tired from work, and then they're also tired from schools and from school and also their extracurricular activities. So the chance of having the communication is not there. So most probably both parties also are not communicating well. So that's where the misunderstanding can come from.
Ardi, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Yep, you're welcome.
That was Ardi Ayadali, Publicity Director from Befrienders KL. And incidentally, this year's Health and Living Junior will be themed Growing Up Today. And it's happening really soon on the 5th of October. And one of the things among many we'll be addressing are things like modern parenting and also vaccination. If you are interested, you can sign up on the Eventbrite page. Just search for BFM Health and Living Junior 2019. And that was a rather interesting conversation that we did have with Ardi, you know, with so many of the things covered. And it's quite hard to hear that point he made about how when children and I guess kids try to have a conversation about their feelings with their parents just respond in a way that isn't so positive, in a way that says, well, you're just looking for attention.
Yeah, it's is it a trait that one has to learn? I mean, as a parent yourself, in many ways, you're just a big-sized adolescent. I mean, there's no lessons on how to be a grown-up and how to be a parent.
I mean, based on what I observe from the new parents around me, or even like parents who are much experienced, it's a lot of learning on the job, really. Like, You sort of gain these experiences along the way, and sometimes you make the wrong decision, sometimes you take the wrong step, but you know, it's a difficult task. It's a difficult job.
But I mean, you know, full disclosure, none of us are parents, so obviously it's always your parents' fault. But I would imagine that it's necessary, though, to have open channels of communication. Mm. You know, at least on some level.
Mm.
And if it's only a 1 in 3 feel that they can communicate with the parents, and if parents are dismissing their children for being, what's it, attention seekers?
Yeah,
that's just horrifying. You have to be able to communicate on some level. And then also, I think play is a vitally important thing. Where the New York Times article, again, says, you know, actually factoring in time which is not extracurricular, which is not aimed at getting you a, you know, you're 6 years old, this is not to get you a job later on. This is just pure, simple play for no particular purpose. And I think that's very important for a child.
We are talking about whether or not it's just harder for our kids today. It's more pressure being placed on them. You can call us with your thoughts. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And tweet us at BFM Radio. We're heading to the 5:30 news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:39. You are still with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam on the Evening Edition. Now, earlier in the hour, we were talking about whether it's just harder for kids today to just grow up because there's a lot of pressures. They're not getting enough playtime. They're not getting enough time just to be children. So we have been asking for your thoughts, and if you have more, you can send them our way at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line, we have Sabrina. Sabrina, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, I'm a rehab physician, and we actually presented a paper on demography of cases referred for psychological support and counselling in Malaysia, all over all the 14. This is a collaboration between the psychological counseling unit in Sarawak as well as rehab medicine. And what we found is from 2012 till 2017, a total of 54,943 cases were referred from all over the state nationwide, and of which the highest is amongst the government servants, the unemployed, as well as students. So it is concurring with the previous speaker from Befrienders that students are under a lot of stress. So the reasons for the referrals to seek counselling were depression, about 10 to 15% every single year. Stress is about 5 to 6%. Adjustment disorder. Adjustment disorder means something happened to you, like a crisis, and you don't know how to cope. And then unmarried pregnancy is 2 to 5%, and it's increasing every year. So we are a consistent increase in pattern for students who cannot cope with either studies or their psychosocial issues. They are not happy being at home. They are not happy at school. And most are sitting for exams like the PMR and STM. So earlier you mentioned about like coping, doesn't that come naturally as parents as well as students? No, it doesn't. Not everybody knows how to cope with mounting pressure, especially in areas.
Could I ask you one question? The teenage depression or unhappiness is on the increase, you say. I'm wondering how this is manifesting itself. Have you found, is there suicidal thoughts?
Yes. It's like a database. Whenever a client, either a student or unmarried mother, when they are in trouble, they are seen in government hospitals, they are to the counselors. So they enter this data into the system, so we can capture what kind of demography they are raised, and found that most are single, they are unmarried, and they're unemployed. So when they are unemployed, they are either out of work or they're students. So they usually come to the emergency with now, like slit wrist or, you know, Panadol, drinking Panadol, like 20 tablets, things like that. Or they break up with their boyfriends or girlfriends and they get seen by the counselors or the psychiatrist. So that's when they come through the accident emergency. But from school as well, their teachers, the counselors, if they cannot cope in school, they actually bring these students to the clinic, the government clinics, and we help them out.
And these are people who feel like they can't speak to their parents?
Not everything you want to share with your parents. I wouldn't want to share a lot of things with my parents. You need to talk to your friends, and if your friends do not understand and they don't empathize with your condition, you would want to do something stupid or go to the authorities. So the smart ones, the clever ones who know how to seek for help, they actually go to and talk to the doctors or the teachers. So then they will be taught on strategies, on how to problem solve. Simple things. Sometimes when you are depressed, you're under a lot of pressure, you cannot think, you cannot problem solve. You don't know which one to do first because everything is coming at you at once. You don't know how to prioritize. And I agree with the thought of, you know, parents should not expect children to attend tuition back-to-back. You know, they're so tired. You need to make sure that your child sleeps by 8 p.m. A lot of our Malaysian students and children, they do not sleep unless their parents sleep at midnight. So that's wrong. I only learned that when I got together with an Australian. And in the Australian system, we get notes from the school to ensure that our children need to be in bed by 8. And then they rise at 6. So that's unheard of in Malaysia. I still see people bringing their babies in court in the middle of the night to Nanda. So the awareness is not there. As parents, you do not understand that children need to sleep, they need to rest, they need to play in order for them to perform in life as well as in academics.
Could I ask you a question, which might be impossible to answer, but looking with the research that you've done and the numbers that you have, the article that prompted us was from the New York Times, and it was looking at American children, American parenting. Do you think that our children are facing the same kind of existential issues or are reacting at the same numbers as they are in say, America?
I think we are underreporting. At least America, they actually document things. In our society, you know, you're expected, you're judged. The success of your performance is judged by how many A's you bag at SPM, you know? So we need to, the first thing that I suggest the government does is actually to really have a look that do away with SPM and DCMR. Students should not be, students' outcome should not be judged by that just one exam. It should be a continuous assessment and it should be an overall assessment, not only academics, but, you know, social, dance, you know, debate, you know, those arts and culture. I was really, really shocked. I went back to our boarding school in Negeri Sembilan, a bunch of us, you know, we were doctors, we were lawyers and architects, and we were shocked that the school no longer has the arts and culture activities. Everybody is in the science stream. So my colleagues who were doing art and now they're architects, they were like, oh my God, like, what have you done? Science and technology is not the only thing that a child needs to learn to be successful.
Sabrina, thank you so much for your thoughts. So that had a lot of, it had so much to think about, right? Especially when it comes to the fact that in Australia, there is a sort of paper that tells you and a sort of guide sheet of FAQ list probably that tells you, hey, your kids should sleep at this time. This is what you should do with your kids. And I guess that's just somewhat lacking here, right? Are we helping parents prepare for what it's like to be a parent in the 21st century when, you know, there are more unique problems, there are more unique pressures, and the context is entirely different?
I mean, I don't know what the relationship between teachers and parents are nowadays, but when I was in school, I don't remember my teachers being so involved in my life at home, telling me when to sleep and whatnot. So the idea of the teachers in Australia sending that note to their parents was something new for me.
And you can also keep your thoughts coming. Do you think parents, rather, do you think kids are just having a much harder time today? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
We were talking about whether or not life is more difficult for kids today. They are facing increasing pressure. They are having less time to play, less time to just be kids in general. And we've been asking for your thoughts. And we have this message from Cheryl Akma that reads, 18-year-old will be legal voting age. Why do parents still need to be involved? The kid, in air quotes, should be taught to be more independent and to make decisions on their own.
Well, teaching to be independent, that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Shouldn't the child have to beg off and find out their own independence?
Well, I mean, there are ways like making them do their own laundry and like paying for some bills or whatever, and or even earning your own income by working some kind of part-time job. But again, takes more time out of your daily life, less time to play. But it is important, especially if we are going to have possibly in the near future 18-year-old leaders. They need to be academically sound and have leadership skills, and it's interesting how it will add to the responsibility for parents to teach their children these values, and also for the children to learn these values. I just wonder how it will all fit in.
But unfortunately, children have these milestones that they have to meet, where there are exams and stuff at quite young age. And I met with, a while back, the football coach, Lim Tiong Kim, who was in charge of the football development program for under 13s and the 19s, and one of the most impressive people I've ever met. Mm. And he, when he's teaching football, and football is not, I suppose, real life, it's not academia, but he actually got angry when his team and his kids won.
Oh.
Because he didn't want to teach them the win at all costs. He wanted them to learn how to play football and express themselves, learn the techniques, learn how to play with each other, how to get on with each other, how to not be intimidated by his opponents. But winning, if you keep winning...
There's no lesson in winning.
There's no lesson in winning. There's lessons in losing. Hmm. And so he went on to teach some of Bayern Munich, some of Germany's most impressive young players.
You know, I think to this point, why parents still more or less need to be involved in the conversation is because, well, you end up still living with your parents for a very long time. It's not, rent isn't exactly cheap now. Wages aren't exactly increasing. So you do kind of more or less stay in this state of suspended adulthood or suspended adolescence. Even though you're 25, you're 26, your parents still ask you, oh, what time are you coming back when you're going out? So you don't necessarily have full freedom. You don't necessarily have full independence. And then the question of gender also comes in. Parents tend to be more protective of their daughters as opposed to their sons. And there is a lot involved here. It's also partially because you just can't afford to do certain things. And, you know, parents sometimes find it very hard to let go of seeing their kids as, you know, them being fully formed adults. And we also have this next message here that comes from Reeve that says, the worst thing a parent can do is to micromanage their child.
True. But, I mean, different parents have their own different approaches. And I guess some just really are super protective and they want to make sure that the child grows up in
the safest environment possible.
The safest environment possible, but also being molded in the form that they wish them to be. So that requires micromanaging. Not necessarily a good thing for the child.
And you can keep your thoughts coming if you have an opinion on whether or not it's harder for kids today. You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.